We draw near that you may crown us and do what you did unto men like Moses, that you used to establish the foundation of a civilization of your government. Open us up to the secrets of your first engineering, so that we might know what is required to align with the spirit of patriarchs and bring dimensions of witness into the earth, that we exalt your majesty. In Jesus' mighty name. I found a question. You may be seated. I found a question in the book of Isaiah chapter 1. There is a question there. We're just trying to continue from where we stopped yesterday. And the burden that we carried yesterday was how that the church at this strategic time is considered as a non-essential. It means that the petrol stations are more relevant than we are. It means that the banking sector is more relevant than the church is. It means Urukum Market. Isaiah has a question for us in the book of Isaiah chapter 1 verse 21. And it's the question is like a lamentation. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. That's the question Isaiah is asking. How is the faithful city become a harlot? Because if we are the salt of the earth, and it happens to be that the salt has no value if it has lost its savour, it will be regarded as a non-essential. What we have now is an indication of the fact that society is saying, hey, you guys have been meeting in your campsites, in your conferences, in your seminars, in your economic empowerment forum, and it seems you have not added anything into the social structure. So at this time, we need to parade the arms of society that seem to be essential services, and we happen not to be strong enough to make the list. So it's as if we have become a byword, and the prophet is asking, how is this faithful city become an harlot? How is it that the ground and the pillar of truth, that is supposed to be the platform from whence God will launch to effect an activity upon the face of the earth, how has she become a sellout? How has she become an unworthy vessel? So much so that society has acknowledged that she has nothing to offer. I went to visit a brother. Was it yesterday? I guess it was yesterday. And when I got to the brother's place, the house of his neighbor was on sale, and a church came to buy the house, and the leadership of the church, names of churches and pastors, as the case may be, I would hear. But when the story was communicated, all those aspects were part of the delivery, but it has to be suppressed at this time, so that we don't go into heart attack quickly. Hallelujah. Now, so the house was on sale, and a particular church in this city indicated interest, and that church happens to be a branch church that has headquarters somewhere. When they came to the negotiation table and the cost for the facility was made known, the pastor in league with senior ministers in the congregation requested that the seller should quote a 10 million naira addition to his initial to the initial cost of the house. That means theoretically it should be captured. Okay, for instance, if the man says he wants to sell for 25 million, they say there's no problem. Make it in the receipt, make it 35 million, such that when your account is credited, will come and you will refund 10 million to us. And the pastor was negotiating with his council of elders. Hallelujah. So the man that was selling the house, who is a chronic unbeliever, is a chronic unbeliever. He has never had anything to do with the Church of Jesus. When he saw the pastor, because the ministry is a reputable ministry that has a massive name in our country, when he saw the kind of deal that they were trying to run with him, he knew how his life would look like if he commits himself, his destiny, into the hands of such men. How is a faithful city become a harlot? Meanwhile, when the other junior members, like junior administrative functionaries, like head of finance, now heard that there was such a deal and they didn't inform them to give them their own share, they moved to headquarters straight and reported the situation. It has since created a terrible outcome. In fact, the burden about it is this lockdown that has captured the burden, because the burden was intense. Lockdown now reduced the pressure, reduced the intensity. How is a faithful city, this is Isaiah's question, become a harlot? Those days when there was crisis in town, they would send for prophets. I know several people, two people in the U.S., that when the great George Bush was president, as I don't know if he's born again, but he normally consults with those two American preachers all through his government. I know a prophet in this country that George Bush consulted before he took a certain action. Yes, I know a prophet in this country, one of our senior ministers, that George Bush was consulting. And there are two American pastors that I know that he was consulting when he was president. Because we have such a place with kings. We have such a place in the arena of decision making. We have such a place in the formulation of the destinies of territories, destinies of nations. But there is a level of reputation that we need to sustain in order for us to be given our rightful place. It is obvious now that our nation is bereaved of wisdom. It's because there is no prophet to give perspective in the caucus of decision-making personalities. The church is missing. The cutting edge of the prophetic is missing. We are galloping like a Mustang as a nation, because it is obvious that we lack direction. But the point is, there is something that led to our current state of despise. And the prophet is asking, how is the faithful city become a harlot? He said, judgment and righteousness once lodged in it, but now it's a ground for murderers. How did this mutation take place? You know, when a prophet, a burden bearer like Isaiah, begins to ask us a question, then you see, we need to stand back and really meditate upon it. Now, in verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 1, the Bible says, the silver is become dross, the wine is mixed with water. What's the meaning of that? Silver has become dross. Wine, it has lost its potency to intoxicate because it is mixed with water. It no longer has a punch. It no longer sustains a power. The silver has lost its shine. Dross has taken away the brilliant edge that the silver is supposed to have in our brilliant outlook. I remember the days of Benson Idahosa. Nobody could look down on the church. The church was like a bright jewel, a black diamond. But the prophet said that the silver has become dross, and the wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. And everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come to them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, Ah! I will ease me of my adversaries, and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge thy dross and take away thy tin. There is a need for purging. If our former glory and our destiny will find expression, some form of purging is required. And it's only the hand of God that can facilitate that purging. Part of this lockdown is a purging process. And it's expected for us to weep before the Lord in repentance, in sackcloth and in ashes. Not primarily for yourself, but we stand in the gap for the body of Christ. You might be up to date with God, but you see, the fact is this, the purposes of God in a generation cannot be fulfilled by a man. And so if you are accurate and the generation is in darkness, God can still move because he moves through a body. And so our prayers are supposed to be strategic. As we stand in the gap on behalf of the land, we are asking that God will reach out to our own direct constituency, which happens to be the body of Christ, and effect a purging. The proof that we have been purged is that we begin to see things from the perspective that God sees things. We begin to feel things the way God feels it. We have the capacity to sustain God's emotion about issues. That's when we can fully and adequately represent His majesty. There are two things, apart from the purging, there are two functionaries that God normally brings anytime there's a restorative initiative. Are you here? All right. I'm still communicating the burden of yesterday. Anytime there's a restorative initiative, if the army, if the people that God is going to use is already defined, and God has no other choice but to use those people, when those people begin to fall out of standard, there are two functionaries God introduces into their midst to ensure that there is an upgrade, a hybridized, quickened upgrade, in order for us not to miss with timings that have been set by the authority of God. Now, yes, there is a need for mass purging, and the purging has really begun, because many things have gone out of place. Our congregational worship is the major basis of our financial life, as the local expression of the body of Christ. But unfortunately, because we have been categorized as non-essentials, we have been deprived of the privilege of meeting congregationally, and that has impacted upon the whole purse. Now, if God could allow our purse to come under attack, it means all the money we accumulated did not fulfill His will. It means all the widows that became widows because of Boko Haram, who were supposed to be people that would have been carried in the shoulder of the corporate church if we were one singular entity that was galvanized for a strategic purpose. We are financially buoyant enough as a body to be able to handle the concerns of people that were direct victims of an onslaught of demonic wickedness. But that doesn't worry. It's not part of the things we look into. You know, it's not a budgeted agenda. And so God allowed us not to meet. And part of these are indications, are warnings. It may be that our money has not translated into God's purpose. It has not been channeled in the right direction. Are you here? It may also mean that the model of the mega church may not be God's apostolic strategic end time purpose. Yes, it may not be God's apostolic strategic end time model. I'm still trying to find out how many people are Rehabonke's members. Rehabonke. I'm still trying to find his members. His members in Nigeria, his members in Ghana. But you see, there was enough financial supply to power all the things he did, and everything Bonke did was in millions and billions. After the crusade in Okene, the 12 million he gave to Khan was a reason for 7 years of battle among ministers. that created utter division, and Jesus left and none of them knew. Darkness has come back to the land because of 12 million. The man that gave the money is not the one that fought. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Hallelujah. Amen. How is a faithful city become a harlot? So God began to say, I'm going to orchestrate a means of purging. This lockdown we are going through now is some form of, God has allowed some restrictions. It's not as if it is will, but he allowed it. And these restrictions have restricted us in various areas, restricted us financially. I think there's a call for us as a body of Christ to begin to trust God. Not our systems, not our strategies, not our methods, not our plans, not our wisdom. It's a call. So the corporate body of Christ on the global scene, for us to take an inventory if it is true that we trust in God or we trust in our strategies and our systems. God has allowed a mild form of purging so that we can contemplate what priority really is. And I assure you, the model of the mega church seems not to be the model that is going to carry the shape of what God is transmitting into the earth. As we study the book of Acts of the Apostles shortly, you are going to find out the systems that the apostles built, which is a very, very divergent model from what we practice today. And that's why we need to reevaluate our definition of success and success in ministry. First of all, God says, I'm going to do some work of purging. I will purge. And what the purging of the Lord will do is that it will take care of the dross, that which is standing in the way of our shining forth. Because our calling is a call to shine. According to the book of Isaiah, he said, arise, shine. There is an illumination that should come from you. There's a glory that should manifest through your life. And the glory that will manifest through your life will become the basis of the attraction that you are going to have around you. There is an attraction. Kingdom administration goes hand in hand with a form of attraction. Attraction. If we study the book of Acts of the Apostles, by the time we get to Acts chapter 8, you are going to see a man that was called Bar-Jesus? Simon the Sorcerer, who was called the great power of God. The kingdom was so attractive when Philip was preaching and miracles and signs took place, so much so that Simon the Sorcerer was attracted. There's an element of attraction that is part of kingdom establishment, kingdom penetration, attraction. Are you still with me? Attraction. And that attraction comes because there is a mighty illumination of the glory of God. Rise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. But you see, there is something that is fighting against that glory being released. It's called the dross. When the dross comes upon gold, when the dross comes upon silver, it reduces its ability to shine. And it is that shining that is the basis of attraction. I saw somebody copied the write-up and sent the write-up. He copied the write-up, I think, from a public space and sent it to me and said, see our challenge. A great prophet sent it to me yesterday. What was the comment about? It was about someone that was saying, we pastors claim to have the ability to heal. Is coronavirus not a sickness? Where are all the pastors that pray for the sick? So next time now, when we call for a miracle service, he say if he's there, he's going to destroy the service. Because when a global healing situation came up, the healers in the body of Christ were not available. What the young man doesn't know, he doesn't know the means by which the people that recovered. As far as we are concerned, only two have died in Nigeria. And we insisted that the one in Benue will not die. Because he came here. Maybe he came here by hook or crook. And he has touched Benue soil. He has come under the influence of our priesthood. By what means did those ones heal? Because as at last week, the Nigerian government was trying to refute the fact that the ordinary chloroquine, which has been accepted in some nations like Saudi Arabia, as an approved means for curing COVID-19. They say they have not, it's not approved. Trying to sustain a mystery around the thing. This is flu. Some of us went to school. And many organizations have come together like WHO. I didn't know that politics could come into organizations like World Health Organization. What do you want? The devil is a liar. I'm still of the opinion that in April, Corona will begin to go gradually and it will die in May. That is, I believe it till tomorrow, as the product of what I have seen. If it doesn't happen that way, it means God didn't speak to me. Hallelujah. And I see, well, some of us think, some of us sit back and we think. Some things don't add up, but it is well. The thing is that the situation has revealed that our silver has become dross. That's my own challenge. The political games and the manipulations and the deception is not part of my problem. If I can still connect God and know His will, everybody can be deceived. I will still be doing what God has revealed. So the deception of the ages, the distraction. You know, God warned us about this time. Say, see, there's going to be a huge distraction. Make sure you keep focused. Are you still with me now? By what power have the people that recovered? We have seen the statistics of death in Italy. Is it not the same corona that came to Nigeria? Why didn't he kill like that? Hallelujah. There is a response from priesthood, and our God has not, he doesn't have a, yes, he still listens, answers prayer. So the person didn't consider all of the whole picture, that there is something at work that is making, is putting pressure, is removing the ability of the situation to create this, the vengeance with which it came. There's something resisting it. Because it cannot be, it is not known from the laboratory. So the Lord's name is not glorified. There's something hindering our glory as a corporate body of the corporate body of Christ. It is it's dross. And there is a level of purging that we will need to go through, which we have already started going through, so that we can understand where we have missed it and come into alignment. For the past 15 years, there's been a heightened emphasis in faith preaching. Faith. How many of you have noticed? Faith, the finished works of Jesus. And corona comes upon the world, and the level of fear is indicative of the fact that that faith preaching did not enter the fabrics of people's heart. We need to stand back and say, what were we doing for 15 years? Faith seminar, faith adventure. And one virus comes out, and the fear is global. So all the endeavors to establish faith on the heart of men, where did it go to? There's something wrong with the kind of ministry we have. It seems not to have the ability to bring about a transformation. And that is the unit with which we can measure the impact that the Holy Spirit has brought to the lives of men. We are going to pray when the prayer time comes that God will purge off the dross. Hallelujah. Now, after purging off the dross, there are two functionaries God will have to restore. The ministry of two functionaries. And you find it in verse 26. And I will restore thy judges as at the first. So judges will have to come back. and thy counselors as at the beginning. If judges and counselors are restored, then afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful city. Means two kinds of ministers are lacking now. And God will have to restore them if the beauty and the potential of the city will be realized one more time. I will restore thy what? Judges. I will restore thy what? Counselors. Okay, before I go to the lecture of the day, because we are still in number one. This is number one. We started looking at the apostolic model and comparing it with our own current model. And we discovered that the apostles' model was designed to raise men, and our model is designed to raise members. It's a departure from the template. And what we have today is that we have a church that is infantile. And the purposes of God in the body of Christ, as he ranges from generation to generation, hangs on the shoulders of men, not members. Men are burden bearers, members bleed. Members cry out for their challenges. Just like the widows were calling out and say, hey, the distribution is not getting to us. Those are members. But when the solution was about to come, Peter said, choose ye among you men. It's men that will solve the problem. Most of the problems will come through members. So the burden of the apostolic house was on men and not on members. Are you still with me? All right. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was accused wrongly. And this was his response. Who is there in the book of Matthew chapter 12? Matthew chapter 12. Okay, let's begin from verse 10. Matthew 12, 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, are we there? And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall he be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? And he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, that they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make it known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, in whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles, and he will not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoking flax he shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him in so much that the blind and the dumb both saw and spake. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, then by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, there shall be your judges. At this time, Jesus had discipled people in the way of the supernatural. So it was not only Jesus that was casting out devils. The people he had trained were also manifesting the miracle ministry. So Jesus was saying, if it is me you are discrediting, and you are saying, okay, I'm doing my own demon casting by the power of Beelzebub, your sons and daughters that are following me, that are my disciples, they are also casting out devils. Have you made a comment about their own means of casting out devils? Because they also have a supernatural ministry, there will be your judges. A judge is one that has supernatural power to manifest the kingdom and a very strong endorsement of heaven upon his life. You know, Isaiah said that if there's going to be restoration of our quality, if there's going to be a restoration of our quality as the body of Christ, there are two kinds of messengers that God is going to release. And the first kind of messenger is the judge. The judge has a manifestation of the power of God on his ministry and an endorsement of God on his life. You see, people are likely to mock God when there's no miracle worker. People are likely to say all kinds of stuff against God when there's no one that has the handle to wield the supernatural. I went to Federal Medical Center. Is that what they call it now? That's what they call it. Okay. I went there because I was looking for the best certificate of my children to help me apply for a visa. And I searched everywhere. I couldn't find it. So I now went and reported myself to them. It seems I've misplaced the birth certificate of my children. They said, okay, that's not a problem here. And then when they were doing the stuff, filling, asking me questions, when were they born, what hospital and all of that. And there was an elaborate form I had to fill. And then at the end of filling it, they signed it and all of that and gave me. I said, we know you are a pastor. Now we have finished the reason for which you came. They close the door and say, you have to pray for us. We make demands on the anointing. Oh my God. And I raised my head and I began to pray. Then I saw a vision. I said, there's one of them here that has a child, because no one was with a child. You just delivered a child. And I'm seeing darkness fall upon that child. And that child is about to be killed. The woman! But there was no physical child there, and there was no sign that any one of them just delivered. And the woman that was implicated by my utterance, she cried out. I said, no, the reason for the revelation is so that the child can be. Don't worry. We have a solution for that. We went again in prayer again, and the Lord brought. I saw one woman, she was not interested in the prayer. The light of the word of knowledge, it was her. He went and stood on her head like this. And I looked intently and I saw that she was programmed for an accident. I said, hey, you there. She suddenly became interested in the prayer. The interest was mobilized on the spot. It was mobilized. Now, we had a 20 minutes time of interaction and the Lord came so mightily. 2 weeks later, the woman that took me there, they now went and arrested her that she should take them to that man. So she called me and said, hey, those people have come again. I said, no, just leave that alone. You see, the point is whether even the uninterested woman had an encounter that made her know. At the end of the day, it was obvious I didn't know any of them before. It was obvious that the revelations were clearly from heaven. And when that happened, the fear of God came upon the land. Who was born again, who was not born again, was not my... I just wanted the fear of God to come. And once the fear of God is in the heart of a man, he's close to salvation. It must not be that I will be the one to do all the job. Hallelujah. But if a judge is around, he will bring back the fear of God. So there are two kinds of functionaries that God dispatches when the credibility of the church begins to decline. No matter how you know the Bible and you are proficient in Bible study and delivery, make sure you have power in your hand. If you don't have power, you cannot contribute to helping our reputation that is so mad, so badly damaged over the years. There must be power in your hand. You can argue about anything, not by power. There was one guy there in the office that was doing, cracking some jokes before I came. So when I was there, I was looking so pious, so sanctimonious. And the guy was coming, would crack jokes and all these things. And say, okay, he's going to marry some of the ladies in the place. I was just there. So pious. And when the thing began to manifest, the guy now didn't know we're praying. He now came inside. And the people he was joking with were too serious with their destiny. So he now had to calm down. He was now trying to analyze what was happening, whether I was using, whether it was mind-bending. And when I gave the word of knowledge about the woman, there was a woman that had a child. I'm seeing darkness. It's coming from the west. Darkness. The western part of this hall. That. And the guy knows that I don't know that woman has a child. So when he confirmed that I wasn't talking from my brain and it was real, pure revelation, even he himself became obedient to the faith. Judges. The Lord will send judges. Yeah, he will send judges. And you are one of the judges that God is going to dispatch. There is a manifestation of power that can operate in any sector of human endeavor. If you are in the educational sector, there is a dimension of power that can operate there. If you are a barrister, you are in the justice sector, there is a dimension of power that can operate there. As long as judges are available, our reputation is helped. Then the next set of people are the counselors. Now the word counselor in Hebrew here is quite complex, but I need to break it down so that we can follow. The word counselor here, its most accurate interpretation is the keeper of doctrine. The keeper of doctrine. Now, there are many people that preach the gospel, but so few people know the doctrine of Christ. As much as we labor to be supernatural people, we must also be carriers of doctrine, so that if someone has never had a church background, and the person gives his life to Christ, and they commit that person to you, so that you can superintend the person's growth for the next 1 year, you need to have a handle on doctrine to be able to lead the person aright. That was the kind of thing that was being done in the book of Luke chapter 1, when Luke was bringing the gospel to Theophilus. Theophilus was a male, an important personality that had accepted Jesus, and he needed someone that understood in an articulate fashion the doctrine of Christ. And it was Luke that was released, sent to go bring him discipleship. And you could see Luke's competence, you could see Luke's credentials. And at the end of the day, after the presentation that Luke did in the book of Luke, Luke was still the one that did the presentation of the book of Acts to the same Theophilus. It means that the Bible study and the discipleship program continued. I was in Brazil, and a lady that has a PhD, and she got this PhD from England, so she's quite very sharp mentally, and she wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I said, all right, since I knew she was cerebral, I had to show her the sequence of reaction on the day of Pentecost. That on the day of Pentecost, it was the people were asking for the Holy Ghost. When they ask for the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says, how much more if you ask your Heavenly Father? How much more if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children? How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So I was telling her that it's a guarantee that if you only as much as ask, He will give the Holy Ghost to you. Because we see the example of the guys in the book of Acts chapter 2. They were asking, and then the Father answered. The Father
released the Holy Ghost,
they were the ones that spoke. It was not the Father that spoke. So I divided into two signs, their own responsibility and God's own responsibility. And then we did the analysis. You could see the participation. And at the end of the day, they spoke in the Holy Ghost, but it was the Lord that gave them the utterance. So I broke the thing, showed her the human side, showed her the divine side. I said, can we practice this? Oh, she said, the only question she has is about utterance. What is utterance? If you don't have doctrine, you cannot disciple a cerebral person. Because the cerebral person wants to understand the logic of the thing. And there is logic in faith. There is logic in God. It can be understood at that level, that your mind will be, the curiosity of your mind will be satisfied. And I took her to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus was about to send disciples to invade territories. And he told them something, that when you begin to do this kingdom business, persecution is going to come. They're going to bring you before councils. They're going to bring you before authorities. He said, when you are standing before authorities, do not premeditate what to say, because in that hour, the Spirit of your Father shall speak through you. When I used that scripture, the Holy Spirit opened her understanding. She was ready for the Holy Ghost baptism. She said, the Spirit of my Father, the Spirit of my Father, he will, the Spirit of your Father, he will speak. Glory. Hallelujah. Then I also showed her the back end of the whole reaction. How that the real person that ministers the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Not even me. Me, I'm just trying to help your faith so that you can be in alignment. Jesus does the baptism. And if you understand what I'm saying, you don't need me. Jesus can do it to you directly. So I told her to go into the open hall. And she began to follow the steps. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit without me ministering to her. Do you understand? She went home. And she prayed for 4 hours in tongues. Yeah. She was initiated to become a prayer warrior. Why? I just brought doctrine. It's not because I'm a smart preacher that things happen to people. What teaching and preaching does is to bring alignment. God is the one that brings the encounter. All I did was to bring doctrine. And those are the counselors that are needed. They have a way of explaining the ways of God so that everyone can enter into his inheritance. Except the judges and the counselors are restored, our reputation is not going to be helped. That's the second prayer point. As the Lord brings purging, we also want to ask that he might restore the judges and restore what? The counselors. Is that clear? Alright, so let me push further. Oh my God. Time is a problem. Okay? God will help us. Let me take you further. Maybe the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then you will see the way God moves. And you find out that the greatest investments that God will establish in the body of Christ is on the shoulders of men. So the principle, the emphasis of apostolic ministry is to raise men. To raise men. Because when trouble comes, it's the men that can stand. Notice that when persecution came to the church in Jerusalem, all the members were scattered. Only the apostles, the men, stood back to hold the ground. To hold the ground in intercession. To hold the ground, because this was where Jesus said we should. You guys can go. Jesus didn't speak to you directly. He spoke to us and said, wait for me in Jerusalem. So, these men are the ones that defend the ground. The purposes of God prospers because they are men to defend the ground. In the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning from verse, let me check it out. Judges and counselors must be restored. Judges and counselors. People that can cast out devils by the finger of God. People that have an accreditation of God's name upon their lives. People that have the capacity to wield the supernatural. And to orchestrate a situation where God's glory will be made manifest. That's when hearts are brought back into repentance. And if you find a place where people are not saved, where people are not healed, it's suspect. When there are no salvation experiences, there are no healing experiences, there are no deliverance experiences, all we come to do is very, 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 very mentalized deliveries. It's a departure from the picture in the book of Acts of the Apostles. If you are paying a price to keep a relationship with God that will still make you a viable personality that can conduct His power, there are many things you will take into, many precautions you will take to ensure that you still exercise, you still participate in that position of favor that makes God to manifest the supernatural to your life. It's most likely, are you with me? You are not with me. The man that has a supernatural ministry, these days we have four supernatural that people have gone to the kingdom of darkness to contact. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about genuine people with genuine supernatural ministries are more likely to be accurate than people without supernatural ministries. Because it takes alignment. I know, I've been here before, and I came to minister. And, amen? And there was something I said, and the Holy Spirit just left me. I now said, because I know him a little, so I said, okay, the man on the keyboard, play something, let me look for him. And I began to beg him. People did not know that when I knelt down on the pulpit that day, it was not because I was worshipping. The reason why I knelt down was I was trying to make amends. And when that amends was made, he poured out himself upon my head again. Now, people were celebrating miracles that took place, but it was a great lesson. That if you are going to be a conduit pipe that is going to be passing, he's going to be passing his supernatural power through, there are deliberate decisions you have to make to retain that position of favor. So a man that has a supernatural ministry is likely to be more accurate, likely to be more up to date than one that does not have. Because anybody can talk. Anybody can talk nice. And some people are naturally designed to talk. But ministry is not talking. Ministry is bringing the mind of God so that God, through his mind, can make an impact in the lives of men that will result in a transformation. That you cannot do by any natural tool. It must all be through the conduit of the grace of God. I will restore judges like as at the first, and counselors like in the beginning.